Imagine yourself in this situation.
You're a young kid, you're in a foreign country, you don't speak the language, nobody can understand you, and you needed a lifeline.
That was Eric Campbell's reality as a young Marine stationed in Japan in the late 90s. His lifeline then was the Stars and Stripes. It was a bit of home that gave him the, just the facts, ma'am, news he needed. While the internet has made more news options available to service members, what hasn't changed is the Stripes' focus on news that affects members of the military and their families specifically. That's what Chelsea Brilla, a military spouse of 15 years, appreciates about the paper.
Whether that is different work schedules, different PT schedules for my husband, different financial benefits that are changing, different insurance benefits that are changing with TRICARE.
Major media outlets might mention this type of news in passing, but Brilla knows Stars and Stripes will follow it closely. The Pentagon zeroed out funding for the paper in its proposed budget in February. In September, it issued a memo preparing to shut the paper for good. And the response from military members and even members of Congress was swift and strong.
It's something that's deeply personal to me.
Colorado Democratic Congressman Jason Crow is an Army veteran who read the paper during his deployments. He joined with 24 other House and Senate members who wrote to Defense Secretary Mark Esper urging that Stars and Stripes stay open. But if anything ensured the paper's future, at least for the next fiscal year, it was a tweet from President Donald Trump. He wrote funding wouldn't be cut under his watch. Crow welcomed the news.
Certainly a victory that we were able to get this decision reversed, and we're going to continue to advocate for it in the years ahead.
The president's tweet came just after news organizations reported that he had made disparaging remarks about fallen soldiers. Whatever the reason for this last-minute save, it doesn't mean the paper's future is assured. It's been on the chopping block in previous administrations, too. And Stars and Stripes ombudsman Ernie Gates thinks the less than friendly relations between the Trump administration and the media made it easy for the Pentagon to target the editorially independent paper.
I think they were emboldened enough to say, this is our chance to get rid of this. Let's take it.
Gates points out that the budget for the paper is minuscule compared to the overall defense budget. $15.5 million for Stars and Stripes in the almost $740 billion budget. But Secretary Esper in February argued that money could be better spent elsewhere.
And so we trimmed that support for Stars and Stripes because we need to invest that money, as we did with many, many, many other programs, into higher priority issues.
The paper is operated through the Pentagon's Defense Media Activity Office, which is overseen by the Assistant to the Secretary of Defense for Public Affairs. Stars and Stripes publisher Max Lederer thinks this stay is a good time to also discuss the Stripes' future.
How should it be funded? And what organizational entity should control the operation of the organization? Should it be the public affairs community where it sits today? Or should it be really part of the morale and welfare entity of DOD?
As Lederer puts it, the paper is about telling troops what's happening on their left flank, right flank, and behind them. He says moving it to another part of the Defense Department would be one way to diffuse the inherent tension between the news organization and its operational manager, which often has to answer tough questions from Stars and Stripes reporters. In Washington, D.C., I'm Caitlin Kim.